start off with this morning, I'd just like to get an indication of how many of you are involved in a regular exercise routine. Hands up if you regularly exercise. That's not too bad overall, I think. It's probably not quite 50% of us here, but it's probably more than I was expecting. Now, what do you reckon about me? Do you reckon I'm involved in a regular exercise routine?
Yes.
I've got bad feet these days, so that's my excuse for putting on a bit of bulk lately. Now, that means I'm not as mobile as I used to be, probably not as active as I used to be, but I hope the increasing bulk is more muscle than fat. I like to put it down to the fact that Ryan, he often needs to be picked up and moved around the place, and so I'm sort of thinking he's my weights, you know, my weight training that I need every day. At least that's what I put it down to. And we know that exercising our bodies has great benefits for our physical health. Today we want to look at, though, the benefits of being spiritually active and exercising our freedom. We'll see that there are great benefits for us in doing so. And we've been saying over the last few weeks that as Christians, we have lots of freedoms. As Christians, it's true that we're slaves of Jesus, but God still gives us a lot of personal freedom in how we serve Him. God calls us to serve Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, to work for the building up of His kingdom. But a lot of the details as to how we're to go about doing those things, God leaves up to us. It's part of our personal freedom in working out in the wisdom that God gives us how we're going to do that for Him. God wants us to employ our freedom in serving Him and thinking about how we can do that. But the question is for each one of us, what have we been doing with all of those freedoms that we have in Jesus? Have you been using the freedom that you have in Him to serve God? Or have you been using your freedom more for selfish purposes? Today, we want to look at the Apostle Paul and to consider him as an example about how we should be using our freedom as Christians. Instead of using his freedom for his own personal benefit, Paul sought to use his freedom in Christ to promote the salvation of others. As a slave of Jesus, Paul was free. He was free from all forms of slavery and oppression. But being free from everyone, he also, out of love and out of a desire for the salvation of others, chose to become a slave to everyone. He viewed himself as being free in Christ to serve others. And he gives us a few examples. The first example occurs in verse 20. He used his freedom to serve his fellow Jews. By nationality, Paul was a Jew. But being free in Christ, he didn't have to follow the Jewish way of life and their religious customs. In particular, he was no longer under the law of Moses. But when he says, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, while not being myself under the law, we can see how he gave himself up in the service of others. Now the law that he's talking about there is the law of Moses. Law of Moses were all the laws that God had given to the people of Israel through Moses. In other words, what we see happening here is that while living and working among the Jewish people, Paul followed Jewish customs. While living and working among the Jews, for example, I assume that he abstained from eating pork and that he also kept the Sabbath day of rest on the Saturday, just like the rest of the Jewish people did. He didn't have to do those things. In Christ, he's been set free from the law of Moses, but he did those things in order not to create any unnecessary barriers in communicating the gospel to others. But what about when he was interacting with non-Jewish people? Well, this is the second example that he gives to us here, and we see this in verse 21. To those without the law, I became as one without the law, while not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Paul used his freedom not only to serve his fellow Jews, but also people of different nationalities, the Gentile people, the non-Jewish people, the people who didn't have the law of Moses. They were without the law in the sense that they were not part of Israel, and so therefore were not under the law of Moses, which governed the people of Israel. So when living and working among Gentiles, Paul didn't think that it was necessary for him to keep the distinctively Jewish customs that were based on the law of Moses. And I assume that that means if he visited someone's house, a Gentile person, and he was served up pork at a meal, if no other Jews were present, then I guess he most likely, probably, would have eaten the pork that was served up there in front of him, in order not to create an obstacle for the sake of those Gentiles receiving the gospel and being saved. But in living like a Gentile, Paul may have eaten pork, but it's not as if he went the whole hog, as it were. Living as a Gentile is only permissible for Christians in relation to those areas of behaviour that are a matter of personal freedom. What you eat, what you drink, what style of clothes you wear, what language you speak. These areas of human activity have a lot of individual choice available from a Christian point of view. God doesn't tell us what language we're meant to speak, whether it be English or Chinese. That's left up to us. But obviously, living as a Gentile, he couldn't go the whole hog in the sense of doing everything that the Gentiles do. He was free from the law of Moses, which meant he could live like Gentiles to some extent, but he wasn't free to live like them totally. Paul makes it clear that he was still under divine law. He says this in verse 21. He says that we are subject to the law. But it's not the law of Moses. It's the law of God, yes, but it's the law of God, not the law of God revealed through Moses, but the law of God that has been revealed to us through Jesus. As Christians, we aren't subject to the law of Moses in the way that the Old Testament people of Israel once were. But that's not to say we're not under law. We are subject to the law of Christ. What Paul is saying here is that we Christians, we're not part of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant applied to just one nation, the nation of Israel. As Christians, we're not part of the Old Covenant. That's not the covenant that we're under. We're under a new covenant. And that means that there are some things that will be different between the Old Testament and the New Testament in terms of God's law. In particular, the laws that related specifically to Israel as a nation and the laws that were simply ceremonial or symbolic, those laws are no longer binding on us as Christians. That's why the church as a whole has a restricted judicial function. We don't go around executing people. It's also why we can eat pork and prawns if we want to. But the moral core of the law between the two testaments is the same. The ethics of worshipping only one true God, the ethics of not stealing, not murdering, the sexual ethics that the Bible talks about, these things haven't changed. Nor would you expect them to when talking about moral standards that reflect the eternal character and values of God. So even though Christians are free from the law of Moses, we aren't free from law altogether. Under the new covenant, the law of Christ, the gospel, the teaching of Jesus applies to us. And that means that there are certain behaviours that we are not free to practice, even though everyone else out there might. Now, Paul understood all of this. He was concerned to walk in the Spirit, living obediently to God. But as far as it was permissible for him to do so, he was prepared to fit in with the culture of the people that he was evangelizing. He didn't want there to be any unnecessary barriers to communicating the gospel. He wanted to avoid culture shock. He didn't want human culture or human preferences getting in the way of his communication of the gospel. And this attitude also applied to his dealings with those whose consciences were weak. In verse 22, he says that he became weak to the weak in order that he might gain the weak. As Paul said back in chapter 8, verse 13, if what I eat causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat. If we unnecessarily trouble the consciences of those around us, then chances are they won't listen to us. So Paul tried to avoid unnecessarily offending people. And he did this because uppermost in his mind was helping others come to salvation. And so, summarising his attitude, Paul says that he became all things in order that he might, by all means, save some. Friends, salvation is the most important thing that can happen to a person. It determines a person's eternal destiny. So Paul wanted to avoid relatively trivial things getting in the way of people hearing and understanding the message. And Paul says in verse 23 that he did all things for the sake of the gospel. The question for us this morning is, to what extent is verse 23 a description of each one of us? Can we say, like Paul did, that we do everything when it comes to exercising our personal freedoms for the sake of the salvation of others, regardless of who they are, what their nationality may be, or what their station in life is? Are we prepared to do everything, absolutely everything, for the sake of the gospel? Now, it's true that we aren't apostles, like Paul was. Our primary role mightn't be to specialise in spreading the gospel, but all of us have a role to play in building up the kingdom of God on earth. So we need to start thinking about our freedoms and the way that we're exercising them. If we're just eating and drinking and working and playing for our own selfish purposes, then what does that say about us? How much does it mean to you that you are right with God through Jesus? How much does it really mean to you that you are saved? If it means something, if it really means a lot, then why are we sometimes not concerned with how other people are going when it comes to knowing God and being in a good relationship with Him? Do you find yourself hardly ever thinking about the spiritual state of others before God? Why is that? Sometimes it's just like we want to go out and have fun with our friends, or go shopping, or have something nice to eat. Well, there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But if we never spare a thought for our salvation and the salvation of others, then it probably means that we don't care very much about salvation at all. But notice, that's not how Paul thought. He knew that salvation was the most important thing that had ever happened to him. To get to know Jesus, to be saved from eternal destruction, this is the most important thing for every single individual. So friends, we need to think about using our freedoms to serve God and to serve others. You need to think about your gifts and abilities and your time and how you can use those things more effectively in the task of bringing the message of salvation to others. Paul is encouraging us through his own personal example to use our freedom in Christ for the benefit of others. Now perhaps at this point you might say to me, Stephen, if all I'm doing is using my gifts and abilities and time for others, then what about me? Don't I need a bit of me time? But notice what Paul says in verse 23. I do everything for the sake of the gospel in order that I might share in its benefits. If you want to share in the benefits of the gospel, benefits such as the forgiveness of your sins, benefits such as eternal life, then you need to be taking the gospel seriously. And if you're taking the gospel seriously, you'll be wanting to do whatever you can to promote the gospel. So by using your freedom and energy for others, by seeking to promote the gospel in everything you do, Paul is saying to us, you too will benefit greatly from that. If you want to share in the gospel, you need to be willing to share the gospel. So according to Paul, the best me time is other people time. Now I'm not saying that there isn't a place for rest or for recreation. You can enjoy having time off to do something you like, but don't just do it for selfish reasons. Do it because you need a break to recharge your batteries a little before jumping back into the service of others. In order for us to share in the benefits of the gospel, Paul goes on to tell us that we also need to be disciplined. And that's something that most of us probably don't like. Not many of us like discipline, do we? Even though those of you who are involved in a regular exercise routine, well, you've probably gotten used to a little bit of discipline. Now, how many of us here would say that we are good at sport? Anyone here willing to put up their hands and say, you know, I'm good at a particular sporting activity? See a few hands being pointed around here. What's Aaron good at? Basketball? Okay. Anyone else? Are you pointing at Janita there? Yeah. Janita. Okay, what's Janita good at? I don't know this. Please tell me. Basketball too. Okay. That's good. That's good. I'm not really into basketball myself, but it's a skill. All right, it's a skill. Any sport that you're good at is a skill that you have developed through time and energy and discipline. Anyone here who's into athletics? Janita as well. All right, what are you, is it like running or something like this? Triathlon. No? What kind of running? Sprints. Okay, like 100, 200, both? Okay. I was into sprinting when I was younger. I think it was because I got relatively strong legs on a light frame body. So I'd always win the first like 70 metres. before the people with bigger legs took over me in the last 30. That's in the 100 metre race. Anyway, there's not too many people, it looks like, here who are into athletics, but have a think about the kind of discipline that the best athletes need to have in order to be successful. Now think about an Olympic athlete. The goal of every Olympic athlete, when you get them down in a quiet room and you really ask them, why are you doing this? What they really want is to win what, do you reckon? Gold medal. Like silver's okay, bronze is okay, but really what you want is the gold medal. In a running race, all of the runners run. But only one gets the gold medal. Paul tells us that we need to live our lives as if we're running for the gold medal in the Olympics. In other words, use your life for God rather than wasting it on things that don't really matter. All high-performance athletes, no matter how naturally gifted they are, need to exercise discipline and also a level of self-control. They have to watch what they eat. They need to follow strict training routines. They need to spend hours and hours every day exercising and practicing. And often they're exerting themselves to the limits of endurance or pain. They train their bodies. And they do all of that with the goal of being able to win a gold medal, which when you think about it is something that can easily be lost or stolen or melted in fire. But as Christians, Paul says, even though we can picture ourselves as being like athletes, our gold medal isn't perishable. Our gold medal endures forever. Our gold medal is eternal life. It's a prize, not given by some politician or a famous person, but it's a prize given by God himself, the God of grace, who enables us through his Spirit to run, following in the footsteps of the ultimate spiritual athlete, who is Jesus. So this means we need to be disciplined. We need to exercise self-control. Only then will we be able to serve God and others as we should be. So Paul's encouragement to each one of us here is this morning, run. Run with purpose. Keep your eyes on the prize. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Be like a boxer in a title fight. Do boxers waste all of their energy just punching the air? No, you got to hit your opponent. You got to make your punches count. Paul wants us to be disciplined. It's as if we need to beat ourselves up, to beat our bodies and to bring them under control and not to let Satan defeat us. Friends, God has given us many freedoms. We're free from sin and free to serve God. And even how we serve God, God gives us a lot of personal choice. The question for each one of us is, however, what are we doing with that freedom? God wants us to exercise our freedom for the sake of the gospel and in the service of others.